Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, March 13th. I sure am glad that you are here with me and that we are reading God's Word together, a Word that we know will bring us wisdom and will help us to love what God commands and desire what He promises. Today we're in the prophetic book of Amos. We'll be reading Amos chapter 4, verses 6 through 13, but I feel like each new book requires us to kind of put our minds around what was that book of Amos about? Well, first, Amos is a farmer, a shepherd, and a fig farmer from Judah, and God sent him to prophesy against Israel, which is the northern kingdom, and this was around 750 BC. This is a prophetic witness to God's judgment on the nations and on Israel's sin and social injustice. So they seemed to be very wealthy and prosperous, and they weren't really concerned for the weak among them. One of the most famous verses in Amos is Amos chapter 5, verse 24. It says, "But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." Many of these prophetic books remind us that God cares about the ways that we act, and He just doesn't want religious observance that is not heartfelt. Instead, He wants our hearts. Amos chapter 4, verses 6 through 13. I need to mention this, though. It starts out with a metaphor of cleanness of teeth. Now, we think that's a good thing today, that we have clean teeth and no germs. But the metaphor here is actually one of famine, that in a time when there is no food, you have clean teeth. Verse 6, "But I gave you also cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and lack of bread in all your places. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Furthermore, I withheld the rain from you while there were still 3 months until harvest. Then I would send rain to one city, and on another city I would not send rain. One part would be rained on, while the part not rained on would dry up. So two or three cities would stagger to another city to drink water, but would not be satisfied. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I smote you with scorching wind and mildew, and the caterpillar was devouring your many gardens and vineyards, fig trees and olive trees. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I sent a plague among you after the manner of Egypt. I slew your young men by the sword, along with your captured horses. And I made the stench of your camp rise up in your nostrils. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I overthrew you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were like a firebrand snatched from a blaze. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. For behold, he who forms mountains and creates the wind and declares to man what are his thoughts, he who made dawn into darkness and treads on the high places of the earth, the Lord God of hosts is his name." All throughout Amos chapter 4, God is listing these multiple disasters, famine and drought and military defeat, and they're all meant to call Israel back to their true love, back to God. But each time they encounter these difficulties, they ignore the warnings. And this might be a reminder to us that when God does allow difficulties in our lives, it's often a wake-up call that we might seek Him instead of continuing in our own stubbornness and in our prideful way, that we would be turned to know and to follow God and to seek His ways. Our gospel reading today is Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. This is the parable of the marriage feast. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?' And the man was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" This is a bit of a confusing parable for me. I start out pretty well knowing that the king is God and the son is Jesus and the wedding is what we ultimately know as the uniting of God's church with God. And God called Israel to be his bridegroom and Israel rejected God. In fact, ultimately, they killed the slaves. They killed the prophets. And the king is enraged, and ultimately he decides to invite other people to the wedding because the guests that he had invited are not worthy. So he goes out, or he has the slaves go out into the highways, and all are invited. Everyone is invited in. But then when the king comes to the wedding, this is when it gets a little confusing. There are some who do not have on the proper wedding attire. And we have to kind of discuss, what is that wedding attire? What does it mean? What does this parable mean? I believe that it means that God's kingdom is open to all, but you must come into the kingdom with the proper clothing, meaning you must come in repentance and faith. And as we've been talking about this week in the prophetic books, as we behold the Lord, as we see how merciful and compassionate he is, we are called to become like him, to be dressed in his righteousness. Now, we know we have to be careful here because we are saved through faith, not in what we do, not in a work, but in faith in what Jesus Christ has done for us. But scripture tells us that we are clothed in his righteousness. So the wedding guests who come knowing that they are not worthy, but they put on the clothes of Jesus and his worthiness, are acceptable in the kingdom. Our Proverbs reading is Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life." Let's go over our memory verse one more time before we close today. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Today, as we pray, I want to continue to pray for our Sunday morning Bible study classes. We've prayed for the youngest and the oldest, and now I want to pray for those in the middle of ages. Also, we want to pray that the Lord would help us to remember our salvation in Jesus Christ and to come in repentance and faith again this morning or this afternoon or this evening to Him. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for Your word. It is a challenge to us. I pray for my brothers and sisters who need something that they're hoping in, Lord. Would You remind them that You are there and would You provide for their needs? We pray, Lord, that we would be dressed in Your righteousness and that we wouldn't depend upon our rituals. Rather, we would turn our hearts in repentance to You. We pray, Lord, for forgiveness, that we have not focused in on what truly matters. We ask, Lord, that You would help us to seek justice and that it would roll down. We pray, Lord, for the Sunday morning Bible study classes in our church. We pray that students and kids would continue to learn familiar stories of the faith and that these stories would be called into one big overarching story of Your redemption and Your love for us. We also want to pray for the faith class, the choir class, the men's forum, the women's class, the young professionals, the grace class, the rooted class, for anchor and foundation and fellowship and cornerstone, and all the people that are represented in these classes. We pray for the teachers. We pray for those who are charged with communication. And we pray that the people of our church would be able to be connected with one another and with Your word through this Bible study hour. Bless and keep my brothers and sisters, whatever they face today, knowing that You are present with them and You ultimately are the tree of life. We love You, Lord, and we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.